chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 4, which is 337. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you."
Solomon was, oughtn't we? Who was Solomon? Some of you bright sparks down here will know. The son of David, very good. What else was he? A king. Yes, he was. Do you know what number king he was, Hannah? What number in the line of kings was he? 63. Not 63, that's my age. Number 3. Well done, Pets. Number 3 was the third king of the halcyon days of the people of Israel. The last king to reign over the whole nation together. And he became the wisest man in all the world. Wisdom. Don't you wish you had it? Now, I'm going to tell you how Solomon got there. He, first of all, went to worship. He went to worship, and that is where we hear from God. Now, the interesting thing is that you think you're in worship, and this is the place of worship, but actually worship's much more than that, is it not? Yes, because Psalm is it? 29 verse 2 says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Very good. And Romans 12 verse 1 says, yes, and what's the next bit? And the next bit? This is your true and spiritual worship, when we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. So there's a whole lot more to worship. It's a whole of life. But actually, when we come to this place to worship, we bring the whole of life with us, in order that God may send us out into the whole of life to be wise there. Now, this is where we hear from God. In what ways do we hear from God? Let's find out. Well, somebody said music and praise, didn't they, Evie B? Well, we do. And the words of the songs which speak to us, words from God. Somebody said, the teaching at least, reading scripture. Because scripture, the Bible, who wrote the Bible, Peter? God, through his prophets and writers, indeed he did. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for instruction, teaching, rebuking and correcting, says, so it was Timothy, thank you very much. I know the verse, couldn't get it. Bible. If we read God's word, we might hear what he says. Somebody said, prayer. If we don't pray to God, God often doesn't speak to us. Prayer is the thing. And then, also, lots of you said about being together in the fellowship, loving one another, meeting with God's people. There's one other, nobody mentioned it. No, I notice this. They are the best bit of worship. Thank you very much. And what are the notices about? The life of the church, the life of God amongst us. And where often does the notices send us? Out, indeed. Acts of service. we may do to one another or to our community. All of these ways are ways of hearing from God by making our whole lives acts of worship. Now, Solomon, interestingly, you see, wasn't even awake doing anything when God spoke to him. God spoke to him in a dream. And he said, what did he say? Can you remember what he said in the Bible reading? Ask for whatever you want. So I leave you with this thought about your life of worship. What would you want to hear God say to you if you position your life in a place where you can hear from him?
We're now on page 338 for those of you that have been keeping up. Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be."
Here's our second point, that humble honesty pleases God. Did you notice that in verse 10? God was pleased with what Solomon asked for. Now, what did Solomon know about himself? He said it in the reading. Did you hear it, Evie? Did you hear it, Samuel? No, you didn't. He knew that he was young. He said, "I'm a young child. I haven't got the ability to be a king." Do you think? I think King Charles, after 70 years of waiting, still doesn't know how to be a king. And not because he's incompetent, but because who could be king? And Solomon was made king when he was young. And he said to God, "I don't know enough. I'm not clever enough." And God said, didn't he, in that dream, "Ask me for whatever you want." What could Solomon have asked God for, do you think, Jonathan? What would he have asked for? Ah, well, he knew he wasn't smart.
So
he said, "I'm." Yeah. Right. Okay. So he could have asked for wealth or money. What else could he have asked for, Evie? An easy life, quite right. We often look for an easy life. Anything else? Yes? Who? World peace. Yeah, that's a great deflection, isn't it? When we don't really want to ask God for something, we go, "Oh, give us world peace." Yes? Anything else? Power. A bigger kingdom. He could have asked for all these things. It's down here, Jessica. Overcoming his enemies, all of that. Yes, indeed. But he asked for none of those things. He asked for, Frankie, wisdom. If I had a chocolate, I'd have given you one, but we ran out because I'm told they got stolen and were eaten in a back classroom some weeks ago. What? Sorry? Be smart. That's what he asked for. So there are no chocolates to give you today because we've run out. There we are. Now, he was humbly honest with God. If we want to please God, we only have to be humbly honest. That's like being humbly honest in asking for forgiveness when we've done something wrong, like stolen the chocolates and eaten them in a back classroom. We only have to be humbly honest in giving thanks. Because, you know, when we properly give thanks, we're saying, we are grateful, and what you have done for me is really worth something. And when we give thanks to God, of course, we're acknowledging that God is good. And all the time, we only have to be humbly honest when we give God the praise. Because when we give God praise, we're saying, he's the best, Lord of lords, King of kings, ruler of all things. And when we praise another, we build them up. And we only have to be humbly honest in caring for others because we consider them more important than ourselves. Being humbly honest before God pleases God and allows us close to his wise heart.
We're on our reading, but this time we're going to the Lion Storyteller Bible. And it says this. It wasn't long before Solomon's wisdom was put to the test. Two women came to see him one day. One of them was holding a baby, and the other was very unhappy. "That woman stole my baby," she cried. "Her baby died, so while I was sleeping, she came and took mine." "That's a lie," shouted the woman with the baby, and she held the child even more tightly. Solomon looked at the woman. Solomon looked at the baby. And what do you think he did? Give the baby to the first woman? No. Give the baby to the second woman? Not likely. Keep it for himself? Never. No, he called one of his soldiers and told him to raise his sword above the child. "Now cut the baby in half," Solomon ordered, "and each of the women can have a piece." The soldier was shocked. He looked at the king. He looked at the baby. But before he could use his sword, the woman who claimed her child had been stolen cried, "Stop! Let her have the child. He's my baby, but I'd rather see him raised by another than have him cut in two." "Oh no," said the woman holding the baby. "The king is right. Cut the baby in half." It was exactly what Solomon had hoped for. "Now I see who the real mother he is," he said, "for she is deeply moved out of love for her son, and would rather give up her child than see it harmed." And he took the baby from one woman and gave it to the other. And what do you think God's people did? They clapped, they cheered, and they thanked God for giving them a king who was both wise and good.
Story, isn't it? And if anybody came to you arguing over a baby, would you say, "Let us cut it in two"? No. Where does this wisdom come from? How do you know if you've got such wisdom? Those women arguing over the same baby. One of them had lost one and stolen the other ones. How do you find out? What do you think then Solomon was looking for? What was Solomon looking for in his wisdom? Selfless sacrifice. Yes, I can think of a shorter word than that. Love. Well done, Sue. That's exactly it. And it is selfless sacrifice. No, that's not what I want. That's what I want. God's wisdom seeks love. And David's absolutely right that that mother would rather have seen her son go away and live than to die because of the argument. Love always lets go because it loves and doesn't harm. Now, the problem for us is, of course, how do we know if we have got God's wisdom? Do you ever ask yourself that? How do I know if I've got God's wisdom? Well, I want you to think. Yes, think. Think where T stands for what you say and do is true. Is what you are doing, is what you are saying the truth? What did Jesus say about himself? I am the truth. My word is truth, he said. There we are. If what you're doing and saying is true, you're on the way to having God's wisdom. Is what you say and do helpful? Think where the H stands for helpful. Who is the help of the helpless? Who is the help of the helpless, Abby? Are you the help of the helpless? No. Who do you think, Sophie? Who's the help of the helpless? Oh, Peter, who would you say is the help of the helpless? Well, God, Jonathan, Jesus. Oh, well done, Frankie. You would have got another chocolate if I had any. Yes, is what you say and do helpful? And if it is, you're on the way to having the wisdom of God. Thirdly, think where I is what you say and do inspirational? Are you inspiring people in their lives by what you say and do? Remember Jesus? Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, very good, you're very right on the money today, Graham. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said. And of course, Jesus said, without me and my spirit, you can do nothing. I am your inspiration. So if what you're doing and saying is inspirational, you are well on the way to having the wisdom of God. Thirdly, is what you say and do, fourthly, thank you very much, is what you say and do necessary? Not nice, necessary. Because we say of Jesus, he has done all things necessary for our salvation. He does what is needed. And he doesn't necessarily do any more. He does exactly what is needed. Is what you're saying and doing necessary? In which case, you're well on the way to having the wisdom of God. And finally, is what you say and do kind? Do you remember that Jesus brings the kindness of God? In Ephesians, it says, God expressed all his kindness through Jesus Christ. In all his grace, he's shown us kindness in Jesus Christ. So, sisters and brothers, if you can think where what you say and do is true, what you say and do is helpful, what you say and do is inspirational, and it's necessary, and it's kind, you will be living with God's wisdom, just like Solomon did, who sought out love to solve his problems.